It's my pleasure to welcome you to Answers from Scripture. Whether you're just being introduced to the Bible for the first time or you've been studying it for a lifetime, I'm confident that you'll benefit from Brother Mark's passionate explanations for the Word of God.
Hey friends, how's it going today? I'm your host, Brother Mark. This is Answers from Scripture, and today's question is, how can Christians be against abortion and for the death penalty? To some people, that sounds like a contradiction because you say pro-life and yet you support the death penalty. And almost immediately, the people asking such a question will go to Exodus chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments, and the most famous of all the Ten Commandments is found in verse 13, thou shalt not kill. And yet God spends a great deal of time after the Ten Commandments are given explaining what he meant by the word to kill. We might today, in our modern vernacular, we might say thou shalt not murder, because he makes great distinction as you go forward. If somebody dies by accident, then there's not going to be any blood upon the person who accidentally took a life. But if you lay in wait and you hate someone and you lay in wait for them and you end their life, then that would be considered murder. When God said, thou shalt not kill, it's obvious he was talking about that. How do you say obvious? Well, let's keep reading the very next chapter. In Exodus 21, verse 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. That's the very next chapter. And that matches what we read back in Genesis, where if a man shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. The death penalty is not the same as murder, and is not being guilty of violating one of the Ten Commandments. That's verse 12, verse 15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. There's the death penalty. Verse 16. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. The type of slavery that was taking place 170 years ago in the United States of America was condemned by the death penalty in the Word of God. And so, yes, God gave the death penalty. The reason we're against abortion is because God's against it. The reason we're for the death penalty is because God's for the death penalty. God gave it, and that's not a violation of thou shalt not kill. In fact, in the same chapter, Exodus chapter 21, if men strive, two men are fighting here, and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her. So in the midst of this fight, some lady gets injured. She was with child, and now she has a premature delivery of that child. And yet no mischief follow. The mother's okay, the baby's okay. He shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, the wife is injured or loses her life, or the baby is injured or loses its life, then thou shalt give life for life. We have this today in America. If you're driving drunk and you hit an automobile, and in that automobile was one woman driver and she was expecting, then that's reckless homicide times two. They'll charge you for the death of the mother, and they'll charge you for the death of the baby. And the same thing's prescribed in the Bible in Exodus chapter 21. Abortion is the ending of the life of a yet-to-be-born human. And the death penalty is when the government takes the life of someone who is worthy of death. And there's the big difference right there. We know abortion's wrong. We did a study on that, a video on that earlier. We know, for example, in Jeremiah 1:5, how that God said that before I formed thee, I knew thee, it says. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He was already personally known from the time that the egg and the sperm joined together. He was known by God as an individual, and while God was still forming him in the womb, God already had a plan for his life and an anointing and a calling for him. And so we know that it's wrong to take the life of an unborn child. And there are many, many texts that show that. But the difference is innocence. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 10. And by the way, the term innocent blood is found over 20 times in the Bible. And it applies in several different scenarios. But if it applies anywhere, clearly it applies to the unborn child. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 10, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee, that innocent blood not be shed in the land. It says, but if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him and smite him mortally, that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. What's the difference? The difference is the baby was innocent, the murderer was guilty. That's the difference. But both are a pro-life position. In 1 Kings chapter 2, I'll explain what I mean by that in just a minute. Again, it's talking about innocent blood. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 31, and the king said unto him, do as he hath said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my fathers. Now, Joab had killed Abner, and now they're being told to fall upon Joab. Why? To take away the innocent blood that he had shed. Joab wasn't innocent. Joab was dying for his own sins, for his own guilt. Does that mean Abner was perfect? No, of course not. But Abner had never sinned a sin worthy of death. So when Joab killed Abner, Joab's now guilty of the shedding of innocent blood. And his blood needed to be shed then in the place of the innocent blood. This is a pro-life position. I want to try to explain that to you. How can you be pro-life saying, I'm against abortion because I'm pro-life, but I'm for the death penalty because I'm pro-life? Well, I'm for the death penalty because I'm pro-life. Think about how many people would be alive today that aren't alive today if we simply had the death penalty. People are murdered. I read about it all the time. They're murdered by someone who had murdered 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the past and a repeat offender. Those murders would never take place if we obeyed the Bible. But other people, think about people that are prone to murder and haven't done it yet, but they're thinking about it. Do you think that they'd be as likely to think about it if every time somebody committed murder, the murderer was put to death? No, I think a whole lot of people would think twice, or would say, you know, I don't want to be that next person that's hanged from the gallows, or the next person that's stoned, or the next person that's beheaded, or the next person that's killed in the electric chair, or whatever the means of execution might be. I'm saying if we obeyed God, a lot of lives would be spared. It is the pro-life position, because this person was against pro-life and was taking lives, and he has to be stopped no matter what. There's a similar analogy I want to draw, and then we'll close for today. But in the founding of the United States of America, one of the kingpins of the founding of America was freedom of religion. And yet several founders were arguing against allowing what they called Romanists or Mohammedans. Now today we'd say Catholics and Muslims. But they were arguing against allowing Romanists or Mohammedans places of authority in our government structure. And other people were saying, well, that's inconsistent. Just like people say, it's inconsistent to be against abortion and pro-death penalty. They said it's inconsistent to say I'm for religious freedom and then to have a political test and say if you're of a particular religion, you can't run for office. Now, ultimately, they decided to have no religious test for political office. But the argument was this, that those who were saying no Catholics and no Muslims in the governmental position, those were people that were so much for the freedom of religion that they wanted to maintain the freedom of religion, and they were saying this, we can't maintain the freedom of religion if we hand the reins over to those who are against the freedom of religion. Catholics are against freedom of religion. Muslims are against freedom of religion. And that was then, in my thinking, a logical argument. The same thing with killing those who are guilty, not killing the innocent, not killing the baby. If we want to kill somebody, we should kill the rapist that raped the mother and caused her to be pregnant. If we want to kill somebody, we should kill the abortionist, the doctor who took the life of an innocent child. And then God would see that we were really concerned about not having innocent blood upon our hands and upon our country. So the difference is very simple. How can you be anti-abortion and for the death penalty? Because we're for the saving of innocent blood and innocent life. And sometimes the only way you can do that is to take the lives of those who are not for the saving of innocent blood and who, if left alone, are going to continue to take the lives and shed innocent blood. The death penalty is in keeping with a pro-life position, just like saying we need to keep those out of office who oppose freedom of religion in the name of freedom of religion makes perfect sense to me as well. I hope that helped you. I hope it wasn't too convoluted, but think it through. Pray about it. Look up the scriptures for yourself. The important thing is, what does God say? That's always the final answer. What does God say? And God bless you. I hope you have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening. If you have a question you'd like to have answered, mention it in the comments field below or visit us at www.answersfromscripture.online.